see it in the movies and the paper and the TV. Somebody's army is always on the move.
Yes.
There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, welcome to Watchmen for Jesus program. Family, welcome. Did y'all miss me something? Did y'all miss me live this weekend? Well, you heard those old recordings. Well, I'm live today. Family, a lot going on. You'd probably expect me to say that, but it's true. I'm going to point some things out today. See, they're testing the waters. Two veterans go into a council meeting, do a citizen's arrest, force 102 members of the city council to resign. Oh, God. Oh, I about doubled over laughing. But anyway, we'll talk about that a little later. It's almost silly. Actually, to tell you the truth, I'm going to explain that shortly. Family, they're poking you. What I mean by poking you, they're seeing what you're made of. They're finding out where your head's at. Have they dumbed down the population enough to where they actually believe, or got us to believe, that a military takeover is actually possible? Sure, it's possible. After all, they've tried it on us. 6 times already. The secret societies. To fool us 6 times since 1933 to take over the U.S. government. And because you all are Bible-believing, Jesus-following people, they've not been allowed to do it. It's that simple. But the more you pull away from God, it's not going to be much more simple. When they have a military takeover under the guise of being benevolent, not malevolent, but benevolent, a good thing, it'll be one of the worst things ever happened. Because what they're actually going to do is change the pot for the kettle, and both of them's got a black bottom on it. The military takeover by malevolent generals, congressmen, that are working for the same side they're trying to take over from. The Vatican, the Jesuits, they all work together. They're all a bunch of liars. I know I'm a little crass at times, but I don't like holding nothing back. And they're a detriment to the Freemasons, to themselves, and others that don't understand how the fifth column actually works. It's like peeling away an onion. Each layer does not know what the next layer knows. Till you get the middle of the onion, they know it all. But they don't know it all because God's in control, and they've failed so many times, they're just wondering what's going on. They have no idea. They think they do, but they don't. Again, they're trying to pass through the disclosure sometime. You know, the knowledge that aliens are here and running the government and all this other silly nonsense. But what the truth is it's sons of God of the Old Testament, the fallen angels. They're real. They're the real ones. That's the real McCoy. Goes back to Genesis. Everything does. They do all this, the news and fear and Ebola and ISIS and all this stuff to keep you all in fear. Matter of fact, the Iron Mount Report calls it fictitious. Notice the word fictitious. Alternate enemies. See, they're counting on you each 10 years, give or take, which rises up another generation of youth, to forget what happened 20 years ago. And for the parents of that generation to forget what they heard 10 years before they were growing up. They're counting on you not connecting the dots. And it's working. So they connect the dots for you in the path they want you to take. You understand this? They're the ones that connect the dots for you. They're the ones showing you that the Illuminati is evil. The Illuminati is showing that the Illuminati is evil. Yeah. The Illuminati is showing you it's the bankers that's doing it. That's the takeoff. They're exposing themselves as a dialectic to get away the bad self and bring on the good self under another title of benevolence. It's a lie. You see? Anyway, sounds complicated, don't it? When you understand it, it's really not complicated. It's just a matter of deceit. But when you cut through it, then you start finding out the ways that you can, well, she would say, deal with it. Handle it. Help others to get through to it. It is supernatural. There is a solution. Excuse me. There are solutions. To stop it, nah, it's not going to happen. To manage it, a certain extent, but in your personal lives, it has to do with where your soul is going to go. That's the bottom line. And the people in control, for now, that group that's controlling the world now, believe in Lucifer. Whether you do or not, doesn't matter. They do. And they're pulling the strings as allowed by God until such time he said that's enough. So their progress into the next phase is heading toward their demise in quick fashion. And once it starts, for them, it's a 100% guaranteed dead-end road. And there's nothing they can do about it. So, in summary, their success will lead to their total failure. That's a promise and a guarantee. Not me. God did. And you'll find it in the scriptures. It's called the book of Revelation. It will come true. Isaiah and Daniel and Revelation. You got to know those three. You got to read those three to understand what each one's saying, because they all have clues among the three that you need all three, plus others, but those are the main ones, to understand the book of Revelation. You can't just read the book of Revelation like it is. You got to have Isaiah and Daniel and Ezekiel to understand the book of Revelations. That's New Testament, Old Testament. Connected. Must be. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast, and we're going to just hit the ground running, like I've always done, and we'll continue to do. Till such time, I just, doggone, just can't do it anymore. But right now, I can. And expose as much as I possibly can in the time we have. For those that join me in the broadcast. Lord, we thank you today. Father, we start off another week. Father, we thank you for the broadcast. We thank you, Lord, for our opportunities to do Bible studies. That, Lord, we can bring people together under one study, under the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that we pray, we dedicate this program in your service. Father, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I lay them before you on the cross. Lord, I lay them before you that, Lord, you forgive them. Father, give me the words to speak today and this week. And, Father, what you want me to have me to do, what you would like me to do. Father, listen to the prayers today, Lord, that you hear of the individuals that's praying for their families, their friends, themselves. And, Lord, to bring the Holy Spirit upon them. And, Father, to give them opportunities to witness to family members and friends and strangers that you bring upon them, that, Father, they can witness the love of Jesus for them. And, Lord, to get them through the trials and tests that's yet come. And, Father, to identify this angels, those that's unawares, that, Father, they'll give to those that come upon them as their tithes, as, Father, that will give them the opportunity to practice their obedience to you. Lord, we do call upon you, Lord, to touch the hearts of these pastors and these preachers and rabbis and priests. That, Lord, that you'll find those that's going to tell the truth, that's going to come out of these churches and bring out the true word of God in the King James Bible. Lord, we pray for this every day. Lord, you wake up these churches. And, Father, to give them the spirit of evangelizing and bringing others to Jesus Christ. To pull them out of the 501c3s and pull them out of these councils and committees and secret societies that control them. To break the chains and free them to be able to speak the true word of God to their parishioners. And Father, we pray, we thank you, Father, for the protection of these children, Lord, that you've let some escape, and Father, to bring this to our attention this past weekend. And Father, we know that there's others that we don't even hear about. Father, you're at work. And Father, those that are being identified and being abducted for these sacrifices that's coming up and the rituals of Christmas and these holidays while, Father, where rituals take place. And Father, you protect these children. We know, Father, they're being abducted for these rituals. And Lord, we need that protection. More protection, Lord, that some of these kidnappings can be thwarted and stopped. And Father, we pray for an awareness of this country, for the Luciferian agenda that's coming upon us. That, Lord, we know the Spirit of God is there with us. And Lord, to help us to witness to others, lead them away from this deception and into the light of the truth. And Father, in all these things we pray, and we pray these in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, my program encompasses the seven areas I've talked about many times before, I've explained to my regular listeners. The seven, what's called the seven rays of politics, religion, science, harmony, beauty, and the arts, philosophy, religion, education. Around seven areas, economics and finance. The seven areas specifically I've mentioned are controlled by councils and committees specifically. In such areas are such organizations as Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, United Nations, Council of Foreign Relations, Royal Institute of National Affairs, Gorbachev Foundation. It goes and goes. Club of Rome, I think I mentioned. Bilderberg, yeah. Trilateral Commission. Council of National Policy. Right-wing religious group of just a bunch of, they're Freemasons highest level, and they lie to everybody. LaHaye, Pat Robinson. They come very close to the truth. They always do. Always will. They'll come so close to the truth, then they'll deviate or placate. That's how they do it. It's very clever what they do. But you follow their memberships, then you know that they're up to something. Every time. There's no exception to that. Right now, they're trying to get the population to accept the New Age Christ. So they got to pretend that they're on our side. They're on the side of the truth by giving you little tidbits and bits of piece of information that's going to be truthful, but then they deviate. This is, they're trained to do this. And they get you to like them and to trust them. It is so evil. It just, matter of fact, I've been fooled more than once, many times, actually, of people I thought were trustworthy, and I found their name on the roster of Council of National Policy or the CFR. Or Knights of Malta, like, what's his name doing? So I try to figure out, well, what's their role on this? What's their agenda? What's how they fit into this? See, Billy Graham turned over in 1990. He preached the truth from 1949 as he was funded by Rockefellers, Randolph Hearst, Beardsley Rummel. They're all involved in this facade and teaches the truth. From 1949, when he was funded by the Rockefellers, did the right thing, but that was part of the facade. Then by 1990, okay, now, turn over. Because the generations of the baby boomers' children were now ready to accept the New Age around 1990s. That'd be the children of the baby boomers. They were prepared for it. Took them 40 years to do it. And Billy Graham came out believing in aliens. We're going to evangelize other planets. That's nonsense. You don't have to know Jesus, but just know you need Christ. What? That's what he says. See, Christ is Messiah. Could be anybody. But when you tack on Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, ooh, that's God incarnated human flesh. That's the real one. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Well, they're getting away from the word Jesus, calling it Yeshua. Oh, it's tricky. And they're saying the Christ, as long as you know the Christ, there's an assumption made, well, it must be Jesus. It's not. You can look up where Billy Graham denies Jesus. You'll find it. Victoria, Joel Osteen, Copeland, Joyce Myers. Just because they say the name in one sentence doesn't mean they follow him. The word faith, theology, is way off course. All you got to do is follow it. Don't fall in love with these people. Fall in love with Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's who. Not some preacher, rabbi, pope, or priest. They're human. That's it. They got their own problems they're going to have to deal with. And they're fooling millions. Making billions. By fooling millions. Look at their theology. Step back. Then take a real look at the word faith theology. The corrupted Christian theology today is not what it was in the 1940s and 50s. Notice it's changed quite a bit now. Family, it's Jesus we need. That people need to focus on. Jesus is the one, not some preacher because you like him. And because there's 10,000 people in the congregation, means nothing. It's Jesus. If we're teaching wrong theology, they're teaching the wrong scriptures, interpreting it incorrectly, they have a responsibility to do it correctly. No excuse. Because they have a responsibility. And it does worse when they're Freemasons at the highest level. That's a problem. Because that means they're doing it on purpose. Well, that's my introductory. Today, what I want to talk about are two things. We'll see where we go with it. Child defense and civil war and arrests. That's be my starting point. We'll see how far we get on that. Because sometimes my broadcast, I just let the Lord lead me, and we go different trails. But this is just how I do it. I go with the flow, and the flow is the Holy Spirit. That's the flow, because He takes the flow. You know that there's five vectors they have for destroying humanity. Now, this is what they're thinking. But see, God, remember what I'm telling you. God has His plan, and He's going to let them go so far, a certain amount of rope, and He's going to jerk them right back like a choke change. They're going to get so far, just like that dog thinks he's going to get chased after that little cat or something, until he gets part of that, into that, what you call it, choking chain. And as soon as you get the end of it, poof, that's it, man. How'd you like that sound effect? They don't want to go no further, you see. Well, that's exactly what God's going to do to them. He lets them get so much out to give them the opportunity. At the same time, they give mankind that they're dealing with opportunities to make a decision and a choice of which direction they're going to go, with them or with God. So what would be the choice? Renounce a blood oath, start telling the truth, do the right thing is with God. Lying, cheating, getting rewards, that's on earth, that's going to be burned. They're going to lose, and they're going to die. You, on the other hand, that take Jesus as Savior, that's it. You're safe, no matter what. No matter what they do, don't matter. For them, it's a whole different ballgame. Because God's going to give them enough leeway on that choke chain, and He's going to jerk them back, and they're done. He lets them go so far, they think they got victory. And I think we're getting to that point. There are five vectors for destroying humanity, so they think. Are the vaccines, lab-created viruses, virtually all of them, the food production, GMO products, etc., water will be the next big, well, it already is, chemtrails, the five senses they tap in on. And you know, all five of these vectors have an opportunity for genocidal scientists to achieve their goal of human sterilization and depopulation. The depopulation plan is in full effect. Kissinger and Haig, two evil individuals, totally evil. One's dead and one's still alive. NSSM 200 was for depopulation. Genocide of a world. I'd say it's pretty evil. If you don't believe me, look it up. Alexander Haig and Kissinger. And then to further it, 1972, to further the plan, to update it, was another globalist named Jimmy Carter. Another failure. And a Luciferian, former president. Definitely not a Christian. No way, no how. Global 2000. Look it up. Depopulation. Genocide. You thought Hitler was bad? These people do it up front, but hidden. They just, it's all out there to find it, yet nobody says a thing because they're all under a blood oath and self-serving notions that they're going to make it, and they're not going to make it. But in the meantime, they're going to try to take people's soul by killing them off before they're born again or saved. If y'all haven't figured it out yet, I don't mince words too well. I'm not very good at politically correctness. It's never been one of my assets. I don't intend for it to ever be. I believe in being straightforward. Sterilization, the HPV vaccine. It kills, sterilizes, and causes permanent injury that these Freemasonic and Isa Star and Wiccan nurses aren't telling you. The others they should know, but they don't make it their business to find out. If they do know, they're not going to tell you because they'll know they'll lose their job. You see what's going on? HPV is to sterilize your children. And if it doesn't kill them first or cause permanent injury, then later in life, it'll sterilize them to where they can hardly have or maybe never have children again. That's the purpose. That is the sole purpose of the HPV vaccine, giving it to them 9 to 12 years old, to sterilize. They practiced on some up in Scandinavia, definitely in Africa, and here they push it like it's candy. And it's a lie. If you do your own research, you'll find it to be true of what I'm telling you. I have a study on my website, watchmenforjesus.com. You'll find a study there. And then from that study, do your own research. Your own. Start off with my studies. Whatever I say on the air, don't believe it, but challenge it. Don't just sit there and, well, I just don't believe this. No. Challenge it. Search out. Prove it wrong. Whether you tell me or not, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, I'm not like saying, well, prove me wrong and I'll show you. It's not that at all. It's you find out from your own research, you see. Because it's your children being targeted, darn it. Baby boomers, you were targeted beginning in 1950. 1945 began the takedown and the targeting. The baby boomers began in 1952 to 54. Cancer cells designed at the military, later Fort Detrick, Maryland, 1979, created HIV. It created it. You understand? It never existed before Fort Detrick, Maryland created it. It wasn't a God-created disease to kill the homosexuals like Pat Robinson, who's a member of the Council of National Policy, and is a 33-degree Mason, and another liar. No. It's created at Fort Detrick, Maryland for depopulation. That was the purpose of it. Again, don't believe me. Challenge it. But you better do it before they do the computer reset. When they do the computer reset, for whatever reason they're going to declare it, all your research is going to go out the door. I don't believe anything on the internet. Really? Then quit going to college then and don't go to the library because they use the internet. It's how you filter out the knowledge you gain from the internet what makes the difference. All your colleges use the internet for research, and yet people say, I don't trust it. Where'd you get that from, the internet? I don't trust it. Really? Then just close down all the libraries, never college. Of course, the colleges, that's another story. I won't go there tonight. They'll get me started on that. Family, this is bad news, but the good news is they do not win. What's winning? Winning is when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth. And that you keep your soul through his protection. It has nothing to do with any religion. I mean, all of them are corrupt. Christianity, all the way to Hinduism. If it's an ism or an anity or a crap or whatever, it is corrupted. It don't matter what it is. Jesus Christ is not about religion. And the only book with evidence is, in fact, the King James Bible, irrefutably true. And none of those that's anti-King James can ever prove otherwise. Now, they can block you when you type things down on the YouTube. They can do that because I've had it done to me many times. Man, I can't keep track of it. Because I'm not going to shut up. It's not going to happen. You see? And the evidence is clear out there. And they don't like it none. So they just block you. Ah, you're a King James onlyist. Well, you're an anti-King James onlyist. So there. Na-na-na boo-boo. Okay? So stick it. Quit lying to the people that trust you. Springmeyer, Rob Sheba. Stop it, man. What's wrong with you people? Lying to people that trust you is absolutely horrific. Why can't people tell the darn truth? Why? Is it because they're cowards? Is it because they've given their life to Lucifer? Is it because they're afraid of what? Telling the truth. We'll get you in trouble. But not telling the truth is eternal trouble. It's called hell. That's eternal. And you will die someday. And there will be a reckoning. That's a guarantee. Personally, my eternal life is not worth what it is on this earth. Because this is temporary. Heaven or hell is permanent. And it's eternal. And there's no soul sleep where you just become annihilated if God doesn't like you. It's another heresy. Some people might say, well, Tom, you got a hair up in your between your toes. No, I don't. This family, this is going to set the stage for the rest of the week. All week long. Now, everybody's looking for a human solution to this, and there's not one. It's not possible. Temporary human solutions are to placate. That's the bottom line. They give you suggestions about how to get by all this. You know, your colloidal silver, run down to the military store, wherever it is, or military service, buy a gas mask. Oh, boy. And then they got, you know, get a map and compass, learn how to do it. Well, y'all better get busy, you know, so you can learn to live off the land, you know, build log cabins like Abraham Lincoln or something. I don't know. Get your little groups together and go to Ozarks and watch reruns of Little House and Prairie, you know, or maybe Tarzan or something. I don't know. None of that's going to help you, family. All that, anything you've thought of, the Illuminati's got it figured out. But what they haven't figured out is when the supernatural raises its ugly head. The Nephilim, the giants they have in the deep underground military bases, will be released at some point in time, and God will allow it eventually. When the tribulations come, Helter Skelter will come. Then people will call on the name of the Lord. They'll find out later. Or in the meantime, what is it? Don't drink the city water without filtering it first. Look at laboratory tests. Get you a little colloidal silver. Make sure you got freeze-dried food. Make sure you have your bug-out bag ready to go. All this stuff. You know, make sure you got ammunition, 5.56 ammo for your, you know, M16 or whatever you've got, MP5, something or another. Make sure you got enough ammo, but when you run out, that's a problem. When you run out of food, that's another problem. There's only so many deer and birds out there, you know. Yeah. And berries, well, in the wintertime, it's not so hot. It's really cold, actually, you know. And you understand, whatever you've got, it don't matter what it is. You're going to run out of it. It doesn't matter what it is. You see? Oh, Tom, you're so negative. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, they tell you get all this food by the website somebody. I don't have anything I sell, nothing. But they got, you know, buy freeze-dried food and all this and all that. That's great, fine. But you're going to run out of it. Yes, you know, get your ammunition. Yep, but you're going to run out of it. And everybody's going to live off the land, right? Well, so many fish out there. Yeah, you know. And hey, that's my fishing hole. Get away from there. Bang, bang. And all that sort of thing. See, and they've got mercenary groups that's going to go after those settlements up in the Ozarks. They know where they're up there. It's all set up. Family, Jesus Christ is the only way when this thing goes down. Whether it's this generation or God lets it go the next generation. Whatever. if you're safe in the Lord and you've got Him in your heart, you're safe. See, death is but another movement to the next level called heaven. Y'all going to taste it eventually. I just get an early start like today. It's not that taking Jesus is a problem. It's not, well, actually, it goes something like this. I'm kind of talking off the top of my head today, so. The people who can see Satan in everything aren't looking to see Satan in everything. They are awake to the deception because he is in everything. And the people who can't see it are walking with the world and don't want their illusion destroyed because they would have to change their walk. So when you walk with Jesus, everything changes. This world is temporary. Satan is God of this world for now. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 will tell you. He's prince of the power of the air. He's allowed to operate the governments, the councils, committees, secret societies, the military. He controls your Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission. You got it? That's his organizations. His name to them is Sanat Kumara. The false prophet that's in the Bible, his name is Sananda Manuel, coming to you as Yeshua in the near future. I'll tell you exactly who they are. And they're fallen angels. There's no such thing as aliens, Billy Graham. Stop lying to people. Pope, you're not going to evangelize some aliens or whatever. They don't exist. They're fallen angels. And the Jesuits are there. Listen, if you're Roman Catholic, you're not going to like this, but you know, same thing for all the other churches as well. The the so-called alien are actually supernatural fallen angels that are called the sons of God of the Old Testament. It goes back to Nimrod. It goes back to the Pharaohs. They've traced the bloodline of the Pharaohs to the kings and queens today. King John, Charles Maine, Magna Carta, all this is part of what we're dealing with today. And it's coming to a head. They got to prepare, and we'll stop here and go to my next what I want to talk about, but they're going to prepare each generation to accept this disclosure, and they test the population. They test to see how close people are to accepting it. If it's not close, they go the next 10 years or so. Or they have a crisis they invent. It's called the Gillian dialectic. Well, that's where we're headed toward. In the meantime, if they keep you all in fear, then you lose your faith. Well, I say don't lose your faith and don't live in fear. Now, so what happened this past Friday? We'll start there. Actually, I think we've already started, haven't I? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Well, we had a good news. Aaron and Stephanie Edson saved a daughter from alleged kidnapper's hands. That's good news. Utah parents said they negotiated when the parent kidnapped. Negotiated. Okay. That's okay. All right. Negotiated with a parent kidnapper on the front lawn to let their 5-year-old daughter go free, call the happy ending perfect, and describe themselves as so grateful. But then they found the kidnapper, alleged kidnapper, in the basement of a house next door, and they arrested him, and he is taken in. Now, I teach self-defense, martial arts, military operations, so forth and so on. I've done this for 30 years. And do a chalice class. I've done this before on the air, and I actually ran classes. I don't do it anymore, but I ran classes, and I designed a program for 3 to 7 year olds specifically, and then I have another program for those around 7 or 8 years old to 12. And then, of course, to the teenage is with adults is another course. And each course is designed for that particular age group because of what they're able to perform with. It's not the same. It's different. You can't teach adult or even a 13 to 17 year old or a 7 to 12 year old. You can't teach them the same techniques and methods. It's not going to work. And certainly a 3 to 5 or 3 to 6 year old, you got to teach something different. You see, you got to know what you're teaching. And the student and their abilities and so forth. So I'm going to cover that here a little bit. I think it's appropriate. I just decided to do that just about an hour ago when I heard this this report. And I'm going to play the report for you so you can sort of hear what happened. Here we go.
Rescuing his 5-year-old daughter moments after a kidnapper snatched the little girl right out of her own bed. We're going to talk exclusively to the very thankful parents in just a moment. First, ABC's Clayton Sandell has their story.
This morning, 48-year-old Troy Morley is locked in a Utah jail cell.
There was a man in my home, and he took my 5-year-old daughter.
Morley allegedly walked in an unlocked door of Aaron and Sheila Edson's home near Salt Lake City Friday, kidnapping their 5-year-old daughter from her basement bedroom. The commotion woke them at 4:30 a.m.
We heard the front door open. I heard her talking. She's just the sweetest little thing, and I heard her voice, and we ran out.
Just in time, Aaron Edson confronted Morley with the girl on the front lawn. Morley dropped the child and ran off.
She looked like she's still dressed and everything. Oh, my God.
Morley was found hiding in the basement of another nearby home. He's now been booked on charges of kidnapping, burglary, trespassing, and resisting arrest. He has not entered a plea. For Good Morning America, Clayton Sandell, ABC News, Los Angeles.
All right, Clayton, thank you very much. And joining us now with an ABC News exclusive, speaking for the first time about that experience, Aaron and Stephanie Holiday Edson. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
So good to see you.
Thank you.
How's Lainey doing, first of all?
She's doing very well.
They said she's happy and skipping and just...
Yes.
No, I know that has to be answered to prayer because
yes.
As a parent, you're very concerned with how she would handle.
Absolutely.
And how are you two doing, Aaron and Stephanie?
I'm doing a lot better today as the days go by, but I've been emotionally devastated as a mother.
You know, we have had a very close call, and it's been something we wouldn't ever wish upon anyone. But if it has to happen, this is the way that it needs to end. It's just perfect. We're so grateful for it.
Take us back, Aaron, to when you knew something wasn't quite right at home.
Well, you know, that was my wife and her woman's intuition, if you
yeah,
call it,
so
her
I,
sensitivity.
We were asleep, and I woke up not to a noise. Nothing woke me up. And I looked at my cell phone because it was next to my bed, and it was 4:07 a.m. And I remember thinking, I'm not tired. I'm awake. This is weird because, you know, and I was fully mentally alert. And because I was awake, I was able to hear the things that were able to save my daughter.
Such as.
So I heard just kind of a dull thud, and then I could hear Lainey's voice. And I couldn't make out what she was saying, but she's my little talker. She has a minor physical handicap, and with that comes a very specific gait pattern that as her mother I know very, very clearly. And there was no footsteps. There was her voice without her walk. And I knew something was wrong. And I yelled to Aaron. I said, she's outside. She's outside. And he immediately ran outside while I ran to the basement. I'll never forget it, but her bedroom door was open and the light was on and her bed was empty.
And when you saw this man, you'd never seen this man before? What did you do, Aaron?
I was just looking for Lainey, just wanted to calmly just get her back and in a way that wasn't upsetting to her. And I just said, Lainey, where are you? And as soon as I saw this man holding her, I continued in that peaceful mode. And I said, what are you doing? And he, you know, gave a story that that he was in trouble and that if he had her with him, that they wouldn't kill him.
And he kept repeating the story?
Yep, and he kept on repeating this story that he needed to get to a church and that as long as she was with him, he would be safe. And I said, look, I want to help you, but you can't take her. And he repeated it again, and I said, really, I want to help you, but she's got to stay. And I just walked up to him and held out my arms, and he just handed her over, just peacefully and calmly, and no one's voice ever got raised. Lainey just came with me, just with a smile on her face. Everything was just fine. Once she was in my hands.
At that point, I was running outside, and I saw he'd made it to the end of our property and was in front of our neighbor's home on the sidewalk. And I couldn't see. Our cars were in the driveway, and I ran outside, and I could see the back of Aaron, and he was holding so still, and I could hear this man just talking. And Aaron turned around really slowly, and his face was calm. His eyes terrified me because I could tell. We know each other well enough to recognize that. And he was holding my daughter, who was clutching a storybook. And, you know, I grabbed her, and I ran in the house and immediately got my cell phone to call 911.
You made sure she was okay, and then you called 911.
And she was like, hi, Mommy. I get to stay up till morning.
And you taught us all a beautiful lesson as well in how you handled this in this calm and peace that you talk about.
If there's any good to come from this, it's maybe that this Thanksgiving will be a little bit more special for us because it came so close to being something horrible. But we hope that this time of year, everyone who might hear this story might remember to be grateful for the things they have before they almost lose them, especially their families.
Yeah. Well, you are an incredible family.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being here, for sharing. And you know we wish you the absolute best,
you,
your entire family, and sweet little lady.
Thank you.
All right. Take care now.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's all God right there. Give God the glory. How that worked out. It could have worked out all kinds of different ways. You know, I mean, someone could have run out with the weapon, run out with a baseball bat, tackled the guy, or the guy could have got away soon enough, quicker, and ended up with the child. What would he really have done? Who knows? In this case, it worked out perfectly, but God was there. The Holy Spirit was there. And I want you all to hear that. This is how, actually that's ideal, what happened there. Nobody got hurt. It worked out. And then they could spread the truth. But we got to give God the glory. Which they did. But now it's good to have a plan to where sometimes these won't happen. That you teach your children. Now you heard where the child was talking. I'm going to give you some things here. Some points. You might want to jot them down. On what you might want to teach your children. You have sometimes when bad things happen. For example, up in, was it New York, I believe? I forgot now where it was, where the guy cut off his mother's head, for goodness sakes, and then he ran into a train and killed himself. This was like last week or week before last. The people there, October the 31st. It was around October. The folks that saw this, saw the guy coming out with the body and the head gone, thought it was a Halloween prank. When people see bad things happening, the immediate thought is denial. It must be a prank or a TV show or, you know, some, maybe they're filming a movie, until they realize, oh, this is real. And they react. You think, well, this can never happen to me, but it can. It just takes 1 second. More and more information is surfacing, and it appears that young girls under the age of 10 have been subjected to rape and sexual abuse. Now it's talking about policemen that are doing it to young girls. Now these policemen, I surmise, when you read about it in the papers, sexual assault, assaulting young girls, the shootings, it's, you know, reaches YouTube and tyrannical government and all this kind of thing. You see, they're infiltrating the police departments with felons trained in Christian identity, trained in the prisons, ADL, Blackwater type training, let out of the population under false pretense, but released since 2006, and they get jobs, positions, well placed in police departments throughout the United States. The minimal target numbers are 185,000 plus under the multi-jurisdictional task force. So they're putting bogus cops in a lot of these police departments with criminal records that are being placed there. So when they have a North American Union, they'll be the ones to take over the national police force. It's happening now. So when you read about these cops that are doing all these bad things, that's as opposed to the good cops that are having to put up with it because it's blue code or whatever, protect them. And you got Freemasons, cops, that are part of this agenda. That's the law enforcement part of infiltration. They're going to release felons from the prisons eventually and close down all prisons. It's going to happen. Under the New Age movement, they have a motto called "Do as thou wilt" is the whole of the law. Right now, the Americans, at 90%, they have no concept of what I'm talking about. But the New Age movement, the humanist agenda, the New Age movement, their motto is "Do as thou wilt." In other words, no more prisons, no more death penalty. So you're going to see an attack toward the death penalty, and you're going to see a changing of the laws to make them less, and then eventually start releasing felons into the population. And then eventually they'll close down the prisons. And those prisons that don't release the felons, they have operations, a special ops, that's going to land in the prisons and release and take over the prison operations and release the felons. I'm jumping way ahead. It's going to happen. Now, in the meantime, as we change the laws of the land, the veil between good and evil is going to start thinning. You're going to see an increase of crime like never before. More up front in your face kind of crime. You're going to have to take responsibility to be aware of what to do as it increases. In other words, not taking your comfortable life for granted. Protecting your children, because they're the targets, and I tell you why. Now, some of you are not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm going to tell you the truth. Is they use children for sacrifices to their god Moloch and Satan, Wiccan. This is the priority. The sexual abuse, they stop there. People think, oh, it's just for sex. Pedophile, evil. No. The sex part is to get to the demonic entity. The sex part is to get to the demonic entity. This goes, family, this goes as high as presidents, legislators, CEOs, kings and queens of these nations perform these sexual acts on children. That's what Child Protective Service is for, is to find children that they can use, funnel through the CIA. Look up Nancy Schaefer. She is after Child Protective Service and the corruptness. Well, what does corruptness really mean? It means they find the children profiled, that they make them disappear in the system, and they funnel them to the Satanists that run our country at the highest level, England, Scandinavia, you name it. 750,000 children are unaccounted or disappear, of which 250,000, give or take, are accounted for in one way or another. Wait a minute, that leaves 500,000 plus unaccounted for. Those ones I'm talking about. The evil that's going on is beyond your imagination. So these Wicca, these Satanists, will pay money to have children brought to them for the one, if they don't already have a crop of them ready for sacrifice, sexual abuse that invokes the prince of darkness and demons. That's the purpose of it, because they get power from this. I'm telling you the deep, dark secret here. Family, this goes as high as the Pentagon. You understand this? This is believable, evil beyond your imagination. It's hidden behind, hidden from the American public. In comes Bohemian Grove, the Wesak Festival, Mount Shasta, California. You're talking about high level. We're not talking just derelicts or sociopaths, and we're talking high level government, military, business, industry. The Vatican has 33% pedophiles. It's not because of the sex of the children. It's because of Satan. It's because of the need to want to get in touch with the supernatural beings. This is the deeper secret. It's the purpose of abortions. I've talked about this before. Let's back up now and just talk about protection of the children in the first place. They seek those under age 10, pure, innocent, and the subject to rape and sexual abuse is linked up to the supernatural, the Wiccan practice, and the Satanist practice. That's what it's all about. I have a program that I've designed, and it encompasses actual physical techniques. I'll explain, and they're very simple. But the prevention is the first level you want to go. What do you tell your child? It starts now. Write it down. But what do you tell your child when you set them down and say, honey, I have something important we need to talk to you about. And just both of you. Both of you. Dad, turn off that stupid TV. Forget about those golf clubs, which are worthless anyway. Forget about the baseball, basketball, softball, whatever the dickens it is. It's unimportant. Your fantasy football, unplug it. And doggone it, pay attention to your children. I made many mistakes in my life, and I wish I could go back and fix them. But I'm speaking from experience of not doing the right thing that I should have done. But now I'm going to pass on what you should do. Tell your child, it's your body. No adult should be touching you when you don't want them to. You tell your child, don't be shy about it. You tell your child that, because majority of abuse comes from relatives, neighbors, friends, and so forth. You think all of them are like this incident we just played here about a stranger coming in, taking the child and leaving. No. Majority of rapes are by people they know. Just recently, they did a thing in Utah. They took a sampling of some college kids in a party. A number of them had date rape drug in their system. Sure did. I'm not going to look for it now. It's somewhere here. I had it. Well, I'll find it later. But that's what happened. And they found date rape drug in one party they raided and several of the attendees. It's your body. No adult should be touching you unless you want them to. And if you feel that something's wrong, it's being done by an adult, then you're probably right. Give your child that confidence to be able to make a decision like that. And teach them. Have them repeat it back to you. Tell somebody. Or tell someone. Tell mom, dad, brother, sister, relative, friend, teacher, clergyman, until something's done about it. This is on the long term. This is not like the stranger situation. That's why you got to pay attention to your children. Even as teenagers in high school. If they're wearing normal, I say, what's normal anymore? Normal clothes, you know, just normal. And all of a sudden they come back with the style of the times. Or black fingernail polish. Or little doodad pentagrams on their, or tattoos of, you know, something's changing there. Or their friends start to change. They have different friends. It's dark. They wear black. You better pay attention to that. Go through the procedure for answering the phone and what to say when they're home alone. And home alone, what they called latchkey kids, is common. Teach your kid what to do, your child. Teach them about answering the phone, and because they're going to ask them, can I speak to your parents? Well, they're not here. They're all gone. That's not what you want to say. You know, never say, I'm home alone. They might say, my mother or father can't come to the phone right now, but if you leave your name and number, I'll have them call you back shortly, and leave it at that. They can't come to the phone right now. They're busy, which is the truth. So it's your body. Don't let nobody touch it. Tell someone when something's being done wrong. And never go with strangers. Now, in this case, it's what happened here in this last incident and episode on Friday. And warn your children about opening the door to anyone other than immediate family members. This includes neighbors as well, unless you have an agreement. Remember, most cases of child abuse do not occur by persons known to the child, but nowadays it's becoming those known, relatives even. What are some indicators that a child is being sexually abused? Well, a lot of parents, understandably so, they don't know who to talk, or kids don't know who to talk to or what to say. If they can't approach you, they don't feel comfortable approaching you because they're afraid what you might say is not good. You want them to come to you. You're the one. That means you got to be available to them. But if they just hold the burden, you got to be alert to possible signals. And I'm going to give you some of those signals. First of all, you might find a change in their behavior, such as eating habits, loss of sleep, being more aggressive or disruptive or withdrawing from regular activity as opposed to how they were before. So basically a change in behavior, but you got to pay attention to it. When you got latchkey kids, parents means the parents not there. If you got a parent that's making 2 hour drives to work and back, and then they come home tired and you want to sit and watch TV and you're not paying attention to your child. But you got to do it, especially now, because they're going to be targeted. Marks or irritations in the genital area or our anal area. And I hate to be crass about it, but you know, you'll find a child 8, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old that, you know, do number 2 in their pants, and it's like, wait a minute, you're too old for that. Well, they do it for a reason. They got crap in their pants, and somebody's doing something they shouldn't be doing there against them, just tell you like it is, they're thinking subconsciously they'll keep the person from doing it. Just get right down to it. I know some kids in my past. I've heard instances in my research and actually some people I've talked to. This has been the case. You're too old for that, man. You got to tell me, no, there's a reason why they're doing it. A difficulty in concentration. Change in school performances. Oh, yeah, you take them to a psychiatrist. Oh, Mrs. Jones, your child has ADHD. Well, you got a quack already. And then they're going to say, well, right here, here are some pills you can give him that's going to calm him down. Yeah. Psychotropic drugs. Of course it's going to calm them down. It's called medication. It's called sterilizing their mind. Doesn't solve the problem. Just makes the problem just go away. Problem still not solved. If they're showing signs that they describe as ADHD, it's not ADHD. There's no such thing as ADHD. That's a lie. Children are children. They're active. When you pump a lot of Coke into them, Coca-Cola, energy drinks, sugar, Pepsi-Cola for breakfast, what in the dickens do you expect? And then a child is a child is a child. Can't sit still. He's a child. Sometimes they want attention. Well, just poke some pills in them. That'll settle them down. Yeah, I guess it would. Most of the shootings and killings in school today by children are because they have psychotropic drugs in their system, for goodness sakes. These psychiatrists are full of nonsense. They should close down the entire psychiatric department of every college and university and then do a study or do a some kind of AA for the psychologists because they're the ones got the problems. You can't blame the psychiatrists because they're under a blood oath to keep quiet. You blame the ones also. They're telling them what to do because they give them the paycheck. So you blame both of them. Psychiatrist just doing what he's told to do. Needs to be held responsible. But let's go higher. Let's go higher. Unexplainable fear or dislike for an adult, whether it be a close family friend or a relative. You ladies out there, you got a new boyfriend or something, and the cat don't like him, pay attention. Or if the dog sits there and shows his teeth, you got a problem there, because dogs and cats have a keen sense of intuition. A cat will know. He said, oh, come here, kitty, 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 because he's going to try to like you, you see, so he's going to like your kitty cat. But the cat is like, no, sir, and runs away, you better pay attention. You know, any of these symptoms might occur for other reasons, of course, but it might give you some clue to discussing it with your child. Or pay attention. Find out what the routine is. You know, most states have child abuse hotline numbers. You need to find what that is if you think you have a problem. Now, I'm going to step further now. That's basic stuff. I got what classes I teach on what's called Stranger Danger. Stranger Danger. Under Stranger Danger, rule number one, never take rides from strangers. You know, you might have a stranger that could offer you a ride and stop or ask a question, may even call you by name, or they might have the name stitched on their clothing. On their backpack or on their lunchbox, or if you still have them nowadays, whatever. Or maybe by the way, you know when you put these Facebook and you got the picture of your kids in their bedroom and all that? Well, there's a way that they can track in on the code for that picture and actually find out where you live. and they may do research to find out the name of the kid. That's when they're going to target one to kidnap them for these Wicca circles. Get right down to it. Or for organ trafficking. Or sexual abuse. A lot of money is paid down in Mexico and other places. Or China, Russia, where they put them on the ship and they're gone. $500,000 every year. No matter what the stranger says, never go near a stranger's car. Stay away. Be aware of vans in your neighborhood. Be aware of a van next to your car that wasn't there when you left it yourself. You say, oh, you teach us to be paranoid. Nope. These things happen. It just takes one time. And as I told you before, the evil is going to increase. It's not being paranoid. It's not being fearful. It's being aware. Even myself, I have certain precautions I take. If I go to my car, I'll listen to what I preach. If there's a van parked next to my car, I go on up there, but what I'm looking for is when I hear that door go snap and that door pulls back, you can better believe my red flag is up immediately. You know, I'm a former U.S. Marine. I've taught martial arts. I've got a fifth degree, and legitimately I have one. And I taught Marines hand-to-hand. I taught all sorts of things. That doesn't mean a darn thing. Because I don't care how big and bad you think it might be, there's always somebody better, or maybe you catch you sleeping, and you're done. You're cooked like a goose. It don't take but 1 second. That's all it takes. So once you think you're so good, that's when you're going to go away. They're going to take you out. Never let your guard down. You see, number two, never take gifts from strangers. A stranger may offer a gift to the child. Never take a gift or candy or any stranger. They will use some kind of lure for that child. Come see my little puppy dog. Remember, I told you all, my regular listeners, and we have quite a few today. So, remember the five T's. Five T's. They will target, find their profile of victim. Whether instantly they'll find one when they're trolling around, or they've found one and they watch them for 2 or 3 days, stalk. One way they will find a profile for a victim. They'll look for someone unaware, someone that does a routine, you know, that doesn't pay attention, looking for keys in their pocketbook or window shopping or whatever. They'll target somebody, drive by the house several times. You should be aware of that. Or following you when you're going to the mall or something. Be aware of that. Not paranoid, just be aware. Then once they've targeted the individual, they'll make a decision to then test it. They want to test their choice of profiling. They'll walk up and say, I'm lost. Can you help me? Whatever. Hey, I got a little puppy dog. You want to see a little puppy dog? For the child. But the child's got to be alone. I'm lost. Can you give me directions? Do you have a light? Something to test their profile. They'll approach you in some way. Or they'll have excessive attention, staring. Number three. Once they've targeted, tested, and they feel the test is sufficient, then they'll threaten. Then there'll be no doubt. There'll be a verbalization back and forth, a threat, maybe banish a weapon, something of that nature. Then will be the touch. That's the rape, the attack, the assault, the mugging, whatever it is, the car theft, or the breaking in the house, the touch. That's the actual crime. And then the fifth one is the takeoff. Takeoff means the crime is committed, is done, and they leave. Now, if they're a psycho, which is 5% of the population, psychopath, they'll kill. In some cases, a woman, several times, several cases I've researched on, in one case, the man had already murdered like four women before. He's a psychopath. And she, after the rape, she was calm, calmed herself down, that's very important, by breathing. Panic is by excessive breathing from holding your breath or hyperventilating. One of the two. Causes a loss of oxygen to the mind. So you calm your breathing in order to gain control of your physical faculties. To put oxygen in the brain, you got to calm down. To calm down by breathing, get control of your breath rate. Then you can start to think. Well, this woman did what she had to do, and what she did was, she said, okay, look, be quiet because you're going to wake up the neighbors. What? Can I cook you breakfast? Can I cook? She was like talking to him, trying to calm him down. If she'd have panicked, screaming, carrying on, or threatening him, that would have followed the same suit as the others. He'd have killed her because it followed the same ritual. In this case, she did not follow the same ritual, which broke up his modus operandi. It caused him to think a different direction. He just walked and left her alone. I've heard other cases. Where they actually witnessed to him about Jesus Christ. Every case I've heard about that has worked. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. But panicking is not an option. So never take rides from strangers. Never take gifts from strangers. Stay close to mom and dad when out in public. If you get lost, teach your kid. When out in public, stay where you are. Your mom and dad will find you. Stay close to mom and dad. Sometimes kids start to wander. And that doesn't mean because they have ADHD, as they're told they have, which they don't, you start pumping them full of drugs. Kids are going to be kids. Just keep them close in touch with you, for goodness sakes, and don't pump no drugs in them. Certainly don't listen to psychiatrists. They'll always want to put drugs in them. That's what they're paid to do. Family, I may have a whole bunch of new listeners, so I got to tell you this. I got the evidence. And the fact of the matter is, literally every school, as confirmed by many theologians and humanists, humanism controls your schools, literally. Public education and American media has in fact, as diagrammed, confirmed, taken over by a group of people who wants to abandon our traditional worldview and accept secular humanism, Marxism, and Leninism in our colleges and universities and public schools. Quote, Charles Francis Potter, education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism, and every American public school is a school of humanism. This rules your schools. So the schools do not have the interest of your child at its first and foremost agenda. They want to use the schools to control your children. And this is what they're doing, actually. As a matter of fact, 57 years after that quote, Herbert London of New York University declared, quote, the strides made by Marxism at American universities in the last two decades are breathtaking. Every discipline has been affected by its Marxist socialism preachment, and every faculty counts among its members a resident Marxist scholar, unquote. So you see, the schools cannot be trusted. And the Freemasons are in control of it at the highest level. Stay close to your mom and dad while out in public. And don't pump them through with drugs when they get all hyper. Number four, always let your parents know where you are. When playing away from home, let mom and dad know where you are at all times. You got to get them to trust you, not to be rebellious. Because your schools, as I said before, schools of humanism, are teaching your kids to be independent of you. That's why it's important that you know. I've got to tell you what these schools are teaching your kids. You've got them early in the morning, eat, 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 go, 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 go. In the afternoon, okay, 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 get off the TV, go to bed. The next morning, they got them 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, 9 months out of the year. Teach them to be independent of you. By design. And that's a fact. So that means that they will take independence when they go out and will not listen to what you tell them to do. You got to regain control of your children. Because they're being taught a humanistic agenda at the schools, and this pulls them away, and that's exactly what they're trying to do. Teaching them to be international children of the future. So what's this got to do with self-defense? Well, they're teaching your kids to be independent of you as a parent. Therefore, they won't take the steps necessary to what you tell them to do for their safety. You got to counter that of this garbage that they're teaching them in schools today. The Freemasons control it. Humanists control it. Now, that's the point I'm trying to make. You probably won't hear that too many places. But I have the evidence of this. Number five, teach them to always get help if there is trouble. So if you're approached by a stranger, teach them to run and scream and tell your parents right away. What do they call it? Stop, drop, and roll when you're on fire or something? They got these little acronyms and whatever. Well, run, scream, and tell your parents. Now, what are children taught today? Be seen and not heard. Be still. Be quiet. Well, that's exactly what they are. What about that little girl? The parents did the right thing. It worked out. I imagine some other places that guy probably would be a pool of blood in the front lawn. But for them, it was like, hey, negotiated. Okay, it worked. Holy Spirit was there. Other places, I imagine he'd be missing probably both feet, maybe both legs. I don't know. But teach them. I mean to tell you, when you teach them, just tell them, practice it at their home. Now say, honey, your dad's going to be a stranger. Now, what are you going to do when somebody grabs you and your husband or you or somebody that you're working with would grab the child? And what are you going to do now? And you teach them to make a whole lot of noise and scream. You're not my daddy. You're not my mama. Stranger, 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 like an alarm clock. Teach them to do that. You got to make them do it because they don't do it by you just telling them. Make them practice it. Because family just takes one time. One time, one night, 1 5-minute period of time, they're gone. And now it goes back to what I said, an hour ago. The evil is going to get more. It's going to increase. They want children for sacrifices. They want them for other means. Don't let them have your kid. Rule number six, never open the door to a stranger. When you have a serviceman to come by, fix it to where you're going to be there. When your child is a latchkey kid, he does not unlatch that door for nobody. And for the neighbor should know this already. Don't come over until we're home. They should never come over when the child's there. Now, of course, each individual situation, you might have a code word that neighbor or good friend or whatever has the same code word, and that child knows the code word, that's a good parent. That's a good stranger or a good housekeeper or a good babysitter, or the neighbor is a good neighbor authorized by you that can pick up your child or take care of the child or something like that. They have a code word. In the other neighbor, they don't get in. They'll come up and say, I need help, even for adults. Fine, I'll call 911 for you. No, we need to come in. No, you don't. I'll call 911 for you. You call 911. It's not being paranoid, family. This, especially now, is adjusting to the changing times. Of course, it's always been kind of like this, but I feel an urgency and a need to tell you now, because times are going to change. It's not going to be for the better. Three rules for stranger safety. Number one, that was four. Never take rides from strangers. Rule number one. Rule number two, never take gifts from strangers. Number three, stay close to mom and dad when out in public. Number four, always let your parents know where you are. And again, the schools are teaching your kids to be independent of you. That's being taught to your kids. On purpose. Number five, always get help if there's trouble and teach them how to do it and let them practice it. Number six, never open the door to a stranger. Now, three rules of stranger safety, additional. Now, rule number one, if mom and dad don't know, I can't go. So you have a couple neighbor kids come over. Hey, Johnny, you want to come out and play? You got to let your parents know you're leaving. Family, how many times have we heard you read of the parent backing the car up and the child getting hit by the car? Know where your kid is at all times. Open up the carport door. You assume your kid's not there. They may be waiting there right when that garage door opens. You don't know. Make sure they're not there, so you don't back over them or hit them. This has happened way more than one time. Rule number two. If it's not in the mind bank, no thanks. Now what that means is, the mind bank, you can put up on your refrigerator door a picture of a brain or somebody's big head, something. Anyway, you have what's called a mind bank. And you have up there names of safe adults. And these are adults that your child is allowed to be picked up by strangers or in emergency, that you trust them. And get a picture of your safe adult and paste it on the mind bank, so that kid can see the picture of a certain neighbor, a certain uncle, a certain relative, or whatever that you trust. There's an agreement made, and that's the safe adult that can pick up your kid, or you can call them in emergency and they'll be there to help. Hang it in a place where they can see it, called the mind bank. Now, if that adult picture is not in the mind bank, no thanks. The one in the house or want to pick them up. When you're walking out, the kid's walking out, it's a mile to school or half a mile or whatever, and the neighbor that's not in the mind bank says, let's give you a ride. Your child said, no thanks, because his picture is not in the mind bank. I don't care if it's a neighbor. Don't matter. Only the picture of the adult, safe adult, is the one they'll ride with. That's it. Nobody else. Better be safe than sorry. Number three, run and yell, find help and tell. Make them little tattletales. Now, problem. You got some families where the family members of some sort or church-going type, whatever, but they abuse their children when they get home. Well, you got another problem. You better go to the Lord on that one. This happens quite a bit. Unfortunately. But you have to keep your eyes open for that abuse. That child is important. Then keep his secrets. I'm going to talk this week, starting tonight, all this week, about generational curses. Some of you might not be able to palpitate this or to digest the concept of generational curses, but this is the root of all the problems. Literally. Now, some of y'all may be going SMH, shaking your head. That'd be SYH, wouldn't it? Whatever. Wondering what in the dickens I'm talking about. Well, generational curses, there is a supernatural world out there. And if your kids play the Ouija board, if your kids are in an abusive family, or Wicca is played, practiced there, or you have a generation or two where a family member was a Freemason or a Wiccan, or in some way connected to the secret societies, you are going to have, in fact, a curse on that family. It's real. It's not TV. It's for real. And that curse will last 3-4 generations or more. You're not going to hear this in too many places, but I got to tell you, because it's real. It is what's happening today in the homes. You know, I chance losing people telling them this, but I have to do it because this is part of what's happening in families. They don't realize it. You'll find that your great-great-grandmother was into witchcraft or your great-great-grandmother was into tarot cards or something like that. That has, in fact, put a curse on your family. You may not like to hear that, but that's where your trouble's coming from. Or if you had a Freemason great-grandfather and he took the blood oath of Freemasonry, that's going to pass down to your family. You got to cut that curse off. It's called cutting generational curses. It's the truth. I had to throw that out. You might want to look at it, pray about it. This is exactly what's going on today. That's an unseen remedy. That's an unseen symptom of a lot of troubles going on in families today, especially sexual abuse. You can speak a curse on a child. That's why you might have an alcoholic father and the child becomes alcoholic or drug because it's passed on. That's a curse. Of that sin is passed down. I'm giving you the full gambit today. Now, I'm going to lose people, I know. Some people are going to say, I can't listen to this anymore and leave. I can't help that. But it's got to be told. It's got to be documented. It's got to be told because that is a major, major symptom of everything else that happens. It's based on what I've just told you. That's the cause of a lot of problems in the families today. Don't let pride shut off your mind and the truth. And you cut that generational curse by getting it out of your family bloodline. You'd be surprised how that works. Now, let's say that the prevention techniques or situations didn't happen, didn't work out, and your kid gets physically taken. Well, there's some things that you can teach them. I will give you some ideas. It goes without saying they're going to be practiced. Think about what I'm going to tell you. If say this 5-year-old had have known some of these steps. Of course, it worked out well this time, but let's say another time it didn't. And how many times have the perpetrators come into the home, taken the kid, child, right out of the rooms, and they never see him again? This case, it worked. This case, it worked as far as the child was saved. But in most cases, it's not happening. Okay. Between children 3 years old and 6 years old, here's my suggestions. You say, well, what in the world can a 3-year-old, 6-year-old do to an adult? Well, here's a course I came up with. First, it's a frame of thinking and actual techniques, but you got to practice them. And they're really simple. Your first weapon to teach your child is the voice and the mind. To think, and the voice to make noise. And that's what saved this one child, was talking. But imagine if they were screaming or hollering or aggressive. There'd been no doubt whatsoever. It'd be like a little two-legged alarm clock. I don't advocate necessarily. I used to teach. I'd have play cards. And I'd have bad words written on them. And I'd hold them up in the class, and people would be like, oh, I can't believe you put that word up there. And I'd say, now you see how y'all react to these words I've just shown you. Well, that's exactly how the perpetrator will try to do to you at the threatened stage. He'll use words that are that we're taught you shouldn't hear. And what that does is causes a shock factor. And then, of course, when they produce a weapon, that's an instant shock factor. But the words that you're taught not to hear in public, or I'm a lady, I can't hear those kind of words. They'll use those words to put you in shock. It works. So what I did was I'd show the words, and then I'd just crumble them up in the trash can it goes. That's what you do with your mind. You take the word and throw it away. Deal with the situation as it really is. Don't let the word put you in shock. Another point is for a stranger, dangerous strangers, is to drop back into a stance and say and yell loudly, "You're not my dad," real loud. Make them yell it so loud their face turns red. Or yelling, "Stranger, stranger, stranger," real loud. And I did it, the way I did it, I'd have them make do it till their faces turn red. So they knew. Or words like, quote, "You're kidnapping me," or "Stop it." You know, words that are commands and loudly. You know, parents always say to the kid, the child, "Be seen but not heard." They're taught that all the time, constantly. Well, in this case, you got to teach them to be heard. So you will be seen. Now, physically, here are some suggestions. When you've got a 3-year-old or a 6-year-old against a big adult, you're kind of limited. But here's what I came up with. Teach them what I call dead weight. Dead weight is you make them or drop down into like a ball. They just collapse. So you've got a 60-pound. How much weight, 3-year-old? I don't know. 60 pounds? 70? I don't know. 50? Something? We'll make them just go completely limp like a dish rag. They have to be trained to do this because kids will just, the stranger will grab them by the arm and they just go with them. Well, no. Completely just fall limp and fall on the ground. It's not expected by the stranger. They don't expect that. It's like, now what do I do? So now you got them dragging by the arm a 50-pound weight. Now, granted, they may start kicking the child, but that's going to be a little obvious, isn't it? The other option is just go with a stranger. Well, that's not good. So you teach them to go and ball up, like a little ball, cover their head, and just don't move. take no orders from the adult that's kidnapping them. So now he's got a 60-pound or a 70-pound or 40, whatever big the child is, that he's got to figure out what to do with. Because dragging the kid is pretty obvious. It's not easy to drag an oblong body of flesh any distance. And certainly it's going to draw attention. I call it dead weight. And you teach him to do that. Just go limp like a dish rag completely. Number two, another method is grabbing the leg. Hold on to that leg. May have sharp teeth too. Anyway, grab a hold of that leg and just latch on to it. He's got a problem. Whole time they're yelling. So I call it grab leg. Now, this has given the assault, the attacker, the kidnapper, opportunity to make decisions. He can leave the child, which would be preferable, or if he's really determined to get this child, he's got to pick that child up. Okay. So he picks him up. Yeah, you would cradle a child like it's your child and you're picking him up to carry him somewhere. Okay. If he does that and the child has allowed himself to be picked up, let's go to the next step. And you, now when you practice this, you got to be careful. Because the child, when they practice to get into it, they'll hurt you. And here's what I'm going to tell you to do. I got two techniques from being picked up. If he picks them up facing away, like around the waist and jerks them up, you got a back headbutt. If they're low to where the headbutt hits the chest, you teach them to kick, 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 just as hard as they want to, screaming the whole way. Kick, 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 or headbutt, headbutt. If they pick him up high enough and you teach him to launch backwards with a headbutt, you break his nose. With the back of the head to the nose. Hard as he can go, get tooth out. And kick. Head, kick, head, kick. Yelling and screaming. He's going to want to put that kid down pretty quick. If he picks up the kid facing forward, face to face, okay. He's not going to have the arms contained, probably. He'll just pick the kid up, the child up. Hands will be free. Okay. Now you've got two hands, little old hands, little three-year-old, four-year-old, five-year-old fingers. You put them in those eyeballs. Like they're grapes. And you teach your child, take those little old bitty fingers and start sticking them in those eyeballs. He's going to get down on the ground right quick. Slap the ears, hit the eyeballs. Hit the eyeballs, slap the ears. Headbutt. Man, he can wear that guy's head right out. And teach him to scream the whole time. He's going to get the ground. Now, teach him to hit the ground running. The second part to that is, I teach him, you see this belt buckle here? The kids will say, yeah. Well, you see below the belt buckle? Mm-hmm. You take that little old bitty fist and you punch as hard as you want to right there below that belt buckle. Just as hard as you want to punch. Like you would a balloon. See if you can knock that balloon. And run off, take off running. So these techniques will work. Kick to the shin with shoes, making noise, punch under the belt buckle. He grabs the kid by the arm, drops down in a limp rag, dish rag fashion. Grab the leg is another technique. If he's picked up, face away, headbutt backwards, kick like you're swimming. If he turns him toward the face, take your little fingers, start poking his eyeballs out. Ear slap him. Eyeballs, ear slap, eyeballs, back and forth. Kick, 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 kick. Hit the ground running. These things work. Now, if you go to a martial arts class, they teach them to punch and kick. That's not going to work. Because it's not realistic. You got to teach them to hit direct somewhere, like a kick to the shin, or, but that may not work either, because there's techniques that what I've taught you should work. But you got to train your kid for that. They got to know it's okay to do this. Now, A side point to that is that you want to teach your child, if you're like 5 and 6, 7 years old, don't take this to school with you. Now you got a problem. Is they want to show you, look what my daddy taught me. Come here a minute. That's not good. So you got to teach them, don't do this unless you're being attacked. Don't do this at school. Don't teach buddies these techniques. Don't work this over on a bully. Well, that's something, another story. But in any case, so you got to make sure that your child doesn't go back to school and start teaching other kids. They got to learn this responsibly. That's the downside to it. And I teach them, now don't you become a bully and start beating them up and take their last cupcake because you know now about how to defend yourself. Of course, then you have a bully situation. That's a whole different story. I tell them not to play with this, don't fake this, and don't do it for fun. But only practice at home. And only when you're in trouble do you ever use it. Now, what if they're pulled into a car? Well, if they're in the front seat, I've told them to honk the horn. Just hit that horn, man. He'll slap the kid, probably. Well, don't stop. Keep honking the horn. Or put the car in park and destroy the car. And teach them about which gear shift. And push it up. Jerk the gear shift back. Whatever. Teach them how to destroy the car. But not yours, okay? Back seat. Teach them to attack the driver. In the same techniques. Pound them on the ear. Reach around and grab his eyeballs. You know something. Just attack the driver's head. Nothing else will work. If he's put in the back seat with a second person, well, you do the same techniques, but you're sitting down. Now, these are physical techniques. Hopefully, you never have to run across something like this. But it could happen. If they're thrown into a trunk, show them on your car the lights, the back lights, tail lights, and teach them to focus on the tail lights. And to break them out if they can, or find something to knock the taillights out. Break them. If they can find a tire iron or some kind of object or something, may not be anything there, but if they are, to use some kind of tool to knock out those taillights and stick the little hand through there. You see? You know, it's unlikely that you'll be able to overpower an adult, but doing something is better than doing nothing. You may even surprise the adult. 75% are abducted from the home. 60% are returned for one reason or another. As far as I'm concerned, one taken, never returned, is one too many. Parents, know your child's daily activity. Stop playing a stupid golf, fantasy football, or watching TV the rest of the night, go to sleep, get up, drive again, whatever, every day. Get to know your child. Listen to the child. They'll give you clues sometimes. Have open communication. And practice. Make it like a Saturday or a Sunday or something, whatever. Or evening when they come home. Reassure the lesson of safety. Have them repeat back to you what they're going to do. That's very important. Know their location at all times. If there's a change of plans, the child will check in. Again, these schools out here, Freemason School, East of Stars, you have teachers and nurses, whatever, that are Wiccan, or in these schools, and are these nurses, and these so-called psychiatrists. They cannot be trusted whatsoever. Find out what they're being told, and they're now trying to find ways that they can isolate your child for conferences without you there. That's a no-no. have them repeat your full name, memorize the phone number, teach them how to use the phone number and the cell phone. And also, as I said before, have a trusted friend as a point of contact. Now, babysitters, that's a problem. Family, don't get a Wiccan babysitter. Come on now. That's discrimination. You're darn right it is. Any questions? Look for the fingernail polish. Look for the tattoos. Look for the black hair kind of eyebrow things going on. It's gothic. Family, not a good thing. I'm sorry. It's just not. Look it up and find out how they dress, and you do not want one for your babysitter. Is it just Wiccan babysitter? No. Watch for signs. Now, you see on the YouTube, more than once you see these where parents have placed cameras to monitor while they're gone in certain places. And the babysitters, unbelievable what they do to the kids. Sometimes putting a camera and monitoring while you're gone might be a good idea. Ask them. Check with the child. So, how was your day? Watch the reaction. Now, family, those are techniques. I just give you a basic. And I've also got different techniques that's a little more advanced for preteen, like 7 to 12, but not much different. Not much difference. For them, I would go into class as actual physical. It would be a little different. I teach them environmental weapons like keys and pepper in your hand. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Pepper into the eyeballs. Blow it like pepper. Keys in the hand, flashlight, pepper, hairspray, a book, throw it into the throat, in the nose. This is physical techniques. This is after you failed because you didn't see what was coming. So then you have to react physically or talk your way out of it. There's all kinds of different things that you can do. I teach them what to hit, the eyes, the nose, and the throat. Kind of like ENT, ears, nose, and throat. Oh, Mr. Happy there, you know what I'm talking about. The kneecaps, shin bones, and pull the hair. And I teach them combinations, just ideas. And this also has to do with adults as well. And I always teach them not to be a bully. And to help others. Well, I want to cover basically today on that case, on that situation. I felt a need to do that because of that report recently. There's quite a bit more. But I'm going to stop there and see how this works and talk to some folks today and see if I need to cover some more about this. I can do that. I want to cover something else that I had listed there on TalkStream Live. About recently, where is it? Here we go. Oh, yeah. There was two veterans, allegedly. Veterans forced 102 corrupt officials to resign. Two Illinois veterans, they placed the entire board under citizen's arrest, November the 7th. After I finish laughing, I'm sorry, but this is a setup. Family, this is to see if it will happen other places in the United States. Because they're pushing for a military takeover of the U.S. government. And they're using Freemasons to come up with these situations, instances. They're putting it in the newspaper so people unsuspecting will say, you know, we can do this ourselves. And they're going to start a military takeover. They're going to have, you know, people coming in, we're going to arrest you, and it's not going to go so well. These are canned situations. These are planned out. And the ones that's not going to go so well, if they start in a wildfire across the United States, will be justification for martial law and bringing in of the international troops already here. I know what these suckers are up to. This is how they do it. So situations like this, it's just to pull people into a trap. Illinois residents, it gives two names, who run an anti-corruption nonprofit called Edgar County Watchdogs, have waged a campaign against crooked police public officials over the past 2 years, forcing resignations from 102 bureaucrats and politicians, and at one point placing an entire park district board under citizen's arrest. With four former governors having served time behind bars, Illinois' government is widely viewed as being riddled with corruption. Family, a lot of this is a setup to pull people in to justify martial law. General Boykin, Rick Joyner, others that are Knights of Malta, pretending to be on your side or absolutely not. They want to justify martial law. They want to test and see just how much of a rebellious spirit that we have to justify further action. That's what this is for. Be very cautious of how this is set up and the games they're trying to play. You see. They're saying, quote, the people need to have their voice. It's not a dictatorship, it's a democracy. Well, I've told you about what FDR said, about it carries through to Bush, Clinton, Obama, and Jimmy Carter, the whole lot of them. All of them are Freemasons and are members of secret societies. The CIA, FBI, ATF, NSA, they all work for the Vatican. And secret societies, not for America. None of them do. And they want to see just how far you'll go. They already have foreign military inside the United States today. Our veterans commit suicide 26 per day. This is orchestrated. I got the evidence for it. At least you can go to my website and make your own mind up. WatchmanForJesus.com. You got members of these tea parties and all these organizations. If they're Freemasons, they're under subjugation of the blood oath. And the Freemasons are under control of the Illuminati, and they don't even know it. A lot of them don't. Family's a setup. They want to see if you rebel to justify martial law. So they put these things out, these reports, these instances that are scripted out. Some people are innocently involved, but don't realize they're being used as pawns. Now that's what's going on with that. And family, we have come to the end here. And I'll continue this on tomorrow. And then tonight is Bible study. We'll hit into generational curses and so forth, because this is really what's going on today. And we'll talk about that most this week. I want to remind you all, we're played at highportradio.net. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And be advised, he has sponsors. He wants to increase his network. And if you go to highportradio.net, you'll find out who his sponsors are. And if you need to use them up there in New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, you can use their sponsors if you'd like, and helps him give him that support to build his network. For him, or for us, he just plays our my broadcast and my Bible studies on a random basis on his network. That's it. And so that's my interest in it. And also, he likes our Bible studies, what he's interested in most. So, you know, he's a good guy. He's a good fella. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. Well, y'all, it's my story. I'm sticking to it. So y'all have a good night tonight. And again, I looked at all the areas that's going on today, and I combined them, and the dots to be connected. That's what's really happening today. It's all connected to this Luciferian agenda. And what I try to do is show you all how the dots are connected and some solutions. But it's going by the book. That's what's happening today. And at one point, it's going to change over. And there's going to be a paradigm. If they have disclosure, everything changes. That's the announcement that we're dealing with aliens. Well, they're not aliens. They're fallen angels, and they're all evil, as the Dickens. Jesus is the only one you can trust, ever. And he's coming back. But family, you got tribulations to go through whenever that happens. But in the meantime, if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, none of this you got to worry about, because that's the main thing, securing your soul for eternity. That's the bottom line, no matter what happens. And renouncing the blood oath, Freemasons, and getting out of there. And go back to your families. No secrets. There's a problem already when you've got to keep a secret from family members. There's a problem. Y'all have a good night. And God bless y'all. And those that's going to, I'll see you tonight. Bible study. And then, of course, tomorrow, 4 o'clock, we're going to hit the ground running. Y'all be ready to go. Y'all have a good night. God bless you all. This is your Watchman, signing off.
Every day to the end.